This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Jack Teixeira? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the alleged crime, then offer my analysis. In 2023, 21-year-old Jack Douglas Teixeira was an airman first class in the Massachusetts Air National Guard. He graduated from high school in 2020 and started his career in the military. On October 1, 2021, Jack was assigned to the 102nd Intelligence Wing at the Otis Air National Guard Base in Massachusetts. He was granted top secret security clearance. He was a cyber defense operations journeyman. His job was to manage and troubleshoot computers and communication systems. Jack lived at his family's home in North Dighton, Massachusetts. Now moving to the timeline of the alleged crime. In early April 2023, the government became aware that top secret documents were being shared on social media. On April 10, the FBI interviewed an individual they referred to as User One. This individual was active on a Discord server called Thug Shaker Central. There were about 20 to 30 young men on the server. Many of them were teenagers. The purpose of the server was to discuss geopolitical affairs, as well as current and historical wars. Many of the members were gun enthusiasts. They actively played various war-themed video games. Sometime around December 2022, User One noticed that the administrator of the server, who went by the name Jack, was sharing classified documents. Jack was posting under the names Jack the Dripper and Excalibur Effect. At first, Jack posted government information as paragraphs of text, but then, in January of 2023, he started posting photographs of what appeared to be classified documents. Jack would occasionally communicate with members of the server through a chat function, voice calls, or video chat. According to User One, during one conversation, Jack indicated that he was concerned that he may get discovered making transcriptions of text at his workplace. Therefore, he took documents to his home and photographed them. On April 12, the FBI received the records from the Discord server, which allowed them to confirm the identity of Jack Teixeira as the person posting the classified documents. The billing information contained not only his name, but his address. The FBI showed User One a photo lineup containing an image of Jack. User One identified him as the same person who shared the classified documents. On April 13, 2023, heavily armed FBI agents arrested Jack at his family's home in North Dighton, Massachusetts. He was charged with unauthorized retention and transmission of national defense information and willful retention of classified documents. He is facing up to 15 years in prison if convicted of these offenses. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. What was the content of the classified documents? It is believed that Jack shared at least 350 pages of documentation. Here are some examples of the information he released. An assessment of a Ukrainian counteroffensive in the war with Russia. Weak spots in the Ukrainian air defenses and problems with ammunition supplies. Details about how the United States spies on its allies. A story about how a Russian fighter jet almost shot down a British surveillance plane, a discussion about how U.S. intelligence infiltrated the Russian military and could warn Ukraine about attacks that Russia was planning, and details about advanced surveillance technology in use by the United States to help Ukraine, including a satellite imagery system. Item number two, Jack's rank as an airman in the Air National Guard is equivalent to a private in the Army. He was essentially a low-level IT worker, yet he was given top-secret security clearance. He had access to the Joint Worldwide Intelligence Communication System. This system contained highly classified military intelligence. Jack was able to read and print classified documents. The only thing missing from his access level was a flashing red button that said, "Send military intelligence to the enemies of the United States." Jack's alleged behavior not only embarrassed himself, it embarrassed the federal government in general. There is no reason that a 21-year-old IT worker needed top-secret security clearance. His job was not related to the actual information in the classified documents. Jack did not have any authority to make policy. He wasn't advising public officials. He wasn't making decisions about satellite imagery systems. The military wasn't going to send him to Russia or Ukraine. The only thing that Jack knew about military strategy came from the video game Call of Duty. It's understandable that the government does have to keep certain secrets, but allowing someone like Jack to have access to these secrets is an insult to the American people. Members of the public can accept that it's not a good idea for the military to be completely transparent, but with this arrangement, the military takes on a responsibility to protect the information. They failed to do that in this case.
24 hours ago, I found out the person that I'd been dating and seeing for the last 6 months as a con man.
That is my sister, Emma. Andrew Tonks' lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series,
and that's when murder, all this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth.
That's what this was, a real life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris. And this is my story, Conning the Con.
So when the scammer uses the hypnotic method of building rapport, then they create dysfunctional, delusional reality.
That's how a scam begins. Convincing the mark that it makes perfect sense to hand over their money to a con artist. The Scams and Cons podcast tells you how scams are run. You'll hear how people are convinced to buy fake art, buy machines that print money, or steal your house.
I get a phone call from my wife, and she let me know that they had decided to move all our stuff out. I can no longer do anything about it except go through an eviction.
And you'll hear it from the experts, people who run the cons.
So we go to your bank, you go in and get 6,000 cash, give us each 3,000, we give you this. Uh-huh. You go home, and what you find out is cut up newspaper.
It's fun to know how the trick is done, and that's what Scams and Cons is all about. Listen at scamsandcons.com. or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Item number 3. What was the motivation for Jack's alleged release of classified documents? Jack appeared to be the leader of a small group of young men who were interested in warfare and firearms. One of Jack's friends said that the pair bonded over a shared interest in Catholicism and in Glock handguns. Not surprisingly, the friend described Jack as a devout Catholic who was interested in guns. Jack had libertarian beliefs. He was a pretty normal guy, but had a slight temper. Jack had doubts about the future of America. He referenced both Waco and Ruby Ridge, two catastrophes that have special significance for people on the far right. Jack uploaded a video where he shouted racist and anti-Semitic slurs. He also fired a rifle. It appears as though Jack shared the information with the members of the group for a few different reasons. He wanted to convince them that he actually had access to top secret information, like he wasn't just fabricating a story about working for the military. This was a way of proving that he was the real deal. He wanted to impress his friends. Also, Jack wanted to educate the young men about what was going on in the world. He thought he could protect them from propaganda, like he was supplying them with the truth when no one else would. The people on the server agreed not to share the documents with others because that might harm the United States. Apparently, one of the people on the server decided to break this rule and shared the documents on another server. The documents quickly spread all over the internet. It does not appear as though Jack had any interest in helping a foreign government. He did not believe himself to be against the United States. Rather, he viewed himself as a patriot. Also, he did not appear to be motivated by the idea that some secrets need to be released to inform the public about something important. For example, this wasn't like Edward Snowden, who in theory released classified information in order to expose the wrongdoing of the government. Jack did not have lofty goals like this. He was a simple young man who thought he could impress his friends and mentor them. One member of the group suggested that Jack was the man, the myth, and the legend. Everyone in the group respected him. Item number 4. Did Jack know that revealing classified documents was a crime? Maybe this was all just a big misunderstanding. There is quite a bit of evidence indicating that Jack knew what he was doing. A few examples. As part of Jack's position, he signed a lifetime binding non-disclosure agreement in which he acknowledged that the unauthorized disclosure of protected information could result in criminal charges. Before his arrest, Jack used his access to classified documents to search for the word leak. According to one of Jack's friends, not long before Jack's arrest, he made a frantic call to members of the group. Jack said, quote, "Guys, it's been good. I love you all. I never wanted it to get to this. I prayed to God that this would never happen, and I prayed and prayed and prayed. Only God can decide what happens from now on," unquote. Considering all the evidence, I think it's pretty clear that Jack knew that he was breaking the law. He probably thought that a bunch of teenagers would keep his secret, or he never really thought about the consequences at all. Moving to my final item, number 5. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. When Jack first entered into military service, he felt confident, strong, and proud. He believed that military values aligned with his personal values. He was a defender of what was good and true. In Jack's little Discord group, nobody really appreciated Jack as being that impressive, at least not initially. He believed himself to be superior to the other members and wanted to teach them about how great he was. He shared his views about world politics and warfare, but nobody really understood what Jack was talking about. This is when Jack decided to use his position to obtain and share classified information. Now his friends would be amazed at how powerful and influential he was. He was on the inside of the government war machine. Jack became overwhelmed with his newfound power, intoxicated on the feeling of being respected. He was a leader who was educating a new generation of warriors. In reality, Jack was an immature and impulsive underachiever who had been influenced by far-right ideology. He was the Pee-wee Herman of traitors. The man who played the character Pee-wee Herman, Paul Rubens, was arrested for a self-service episode, so to speak, that occurred in a movie theater. In a manner of speaking, I guess one could say that both Pee-wee Herman and Jack Teixeira found themselves in trouble due to the unauthorized release of sensitive material that put people in a sticky situation.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
My name is Bill Huffman, and I am a former Cleveland news producer, and I am now the host of the podcast, Who Killed? I began the show focusing on the unsolved murder of Amy Mihaljevic, and now each week I explore a different case with a focus on some of the victims who don't get the attention they deserve. I have a deep catalog of over 225 episodes, so there is a guarantee there will be something for you. Who Killed is an evergreen podcast, Killer Podcasts, and Slow Burn Media production. Subscribe today wherever you get your favorite shows.